thank God that they could draw the men in the assembly. They were down on their knees on Tuesday, not for me. Uprising, down on their knees, praying for Minor Hawk that he would get saved. I didn't get saved till I was 30 years of age, and I'll never get those first 30 years back. I thank God for brethren who are concerned about me. I believe it's only the prayers of God's people back then. He loved me long enough. I was used to saved by the grace of God. How easily I could have been cut down in my sin, like many others perhaps in the gathering this afternoon. I would be down in hell. 5 years after I died, very few people apart from my relationship would have even remembered me. I'll tell you, if anyone can preach in the gospel, we should turn today about God. Minor Hawk. I don't deserve to be a child of God, and neither do any of us. Thank God for sin abounded grace with much more to abound. Since this be past, before in the past, when I was about 18 years of age, I was involved in an automobile accident. I woke in the hospital in the middle of the night, my mother and father. Father was an American Indian, mother was a little Scotch girl. There they stood beside my bed. I could still see my mother in my mind's eye. She went to heaven a few weeks ago. I can still see her with a few swinging down her cheeks. She said, son, the doctor told us you're probably on your deathbed. Won't you accept Christ as your Savior? The hardness of my heart. I said, mother, I've gone this far without Christ. I'll do it over you. You talk about grace overabounding. Well, then grace abounding. I thank God I'm saved today.
I know better than anyone who's saved.
I looked this afternoon. All that I am, in fact, all that I ever hope to be, I claim through faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm only a sinner saved by God's grace. The same goes for everyone saved by God's grace.
You're only a sinner
saved by the grace of God. Please turn with me to 2 Kings. Second Kings chapter 6, verse 1. And the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait or too small for us. And thus the Lord will bless to us a public meeting of the Lord. Now I'm aware of the context. I'm aware of the context. And I'd like to speak to you for a little while this afternoon, following up on what our brother has already been saying about the insidious and diabolical deportment, the enemy of our soul and the enemy of the assembly, the devil, what he's been able to do. I want to speak to you for a little while this afternoon on at least four reasons, and there are many more, why people are leaving the assembly. Why people are leaving the assembly. And we have the first one brought before us here. Out of context, I admit, but the fact remains true and practical. This place is too small or too straight for us. Is that feeling? I used to think that. I couldn't understand why my parents had to go to that little gospel hall down there in the middle of town. Why couldn't we go to that big church on the corner? Why I could walk up those steps and I would feel so proud. Oh, they had to go to heaven. They called the gospel hall. I thank God for it. It was a small place. It was a straight place. But it's too straight and too small for many people. This place is too straight. It's too small for us. I thank God. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, from his own blessed lips, Matthew 18 and verse 20, for where two or three are, having been and being gathered unto my name, there am I in the midst of them. That's all it takes. What is it that attracts me to the assembly of God today? Is it the people? And I love you all. No way. No way. Why, there are lovely people down there in the Baptist church, the Methodist, the Pentecostals. Lovely people. There are some unsaved people that could put us to shame. In certain things. Friend, I'm there because the Lord Jesus Christ is there. It's a small place. And when it gets too big, there's a problem. Lots of problems we won't go into when an the assembly is too big. The lack of exercise, for one thing. You've got 50 or 100 men in an assembly. You can be sure everyone's going to leave it to Joe. Let Joe. Let Archie. Let Michael. Let him get up and take part. There's a lack of exercise. When you have a smaller assembly, our assembly back home is only about a dozen. That's all we have back home in our assembly. We go down to attrition, death, and things like that. But some have left the assembly. Why? It's too small. It's too small. I could do more if I were over in that particular evangelical church. And so they go. Listen, friends. The assembly of God has always been a great place. God, the place where God's honor dwells, the place of his habitation, is always a small place. The place of his holiness is always a small place apart from heaven itself, which is a large place. We know that. All the way back to the tabernacle. That was a great place. We go to the temple. That was a straight place. And we look at the assembly today, regardless of where it may be located, it's a straight place. And in all likelihood, it's a small place. But it's too small for some people. Now, we don't have the assembly mentioned in the Old Testament, but we have certain principles, certain precepts, certain practices in the Old Testament, I believe, that can apply to the New Testament church today. For one thing, I believe the first mention of the assembly in prophecy, you might say, is found there in Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10. When Jacob says there, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, till Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Shiloh, the giver of rest and peace, who's that? Why, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, and neither it did, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. What we're told over there in Psalm 50 and verse 5, called there, gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The principle is still the same. We're gathered unto the name and person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as it was way back there in the tabernacle, the principle is there. 21 times in the book of Deuteronomy, we read where God chose to place his name at a certain place. And so it is. The only place where God is pleased to place his name today is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and those gathered thereto in assembly fellowship we've been hearing that began away back there on the day of Pentecost. We can thank God that the Word of God makes it so clear how we should be gathered. It's in a small place. Some are getting smaller every day, but it's a straight place. It's a straight place. And you know, quite often God's people find themselves in a straight place. How about God's earthly people, Israel? There they were coming out from the Exodus from Egypt under their bondage in the taskmaster. And they came to the Red Sea there. What did they do? They panicked. They panicked. And naturally so. Not spiritually so, but naturally so. They were between a rock and a hard place. But what did they do? They passed through a straight place. And what do we find? We find the wall of water on each side. I'll tell you, I'd have been shivering all the way through. I'll tell you one thing, I believe there's an application there. Even though we may be in a small and in a straight place, we have the water of the Word surrounding us. And that is what brings us to the person of Christ. That's how we were saved. The Word of God used by the Spirit of God brought us to the fact that we needed Him as our Savior and Lord. And so it is too with a gathering center. Remember this, especially you younger Christians today. If the Holy Spirit of God has led you into the assembly, he will never lead you out. And only the Holy Spirit of God should lead you into the assembly. It's the same Holy Spirit of God that worked in your soul and brought you to Christ. He's the only one that should bring you to the assembly of God, as we've been hearing about, who was born there on the day of Pentecost. I thank God that in most assemblies, at least, we have God, the elders, have a desire. See, that those who are brought into fellowship are brought in a scriptural way. If you're in an assembly today, in a scriptural assembly, and that's the only real kind there should be, of course, there are certain characteristics, certain basics, and certain fundamentals that must be adhered to, not the least of which is the Word of God. The Word of God, that's it. It doesn't make any difference what you say or what I say, what you think or what I think. It's what says the Word of God. nothing I can do that can detract from the authority and divine authority of that, of the Word of God. Just that simple. But people say, I'm leaving you people. That place is too small for me. That place is too straight. Listen, I've had people, and you have too, say you people are too narrow. You're narrow-minded. Why, the most broad-minded people on the face of the earth this afternoon are those gathered for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? We believe the whole Bible from cover to cover. The most broad-minded people, when it comes to the scriptures, we believe it all. We believe it all. We are in a straight place, all right. We are in a small place, but we are where God would have us to be. I believe it's the purpose of God to see that souls are saved, baptized, and brought into God's assembly. I know that there are countless many more that are saved in other so-called evangelical churches, and I thank God for every one of them that's saved. I thank God for every preacher of the gospel, regardless of what name he may be called by. Friends, obedience is better than sacrifice. I'm where I am because the Word of God has led me there. The Word of God. The Word of God. Not only that, if you're in a great assembly, even though it may be small, there will be the acknowledgement of the sovereignty of God. There will be the acknowledgement of the Lordship of Christ, as we've been hearing. There will be the acknowledgement, too, of the presidency of the Holy Spirit of God in all of our gatherings and meetings. There will be the acknowledgement that godly elders, acting on behalf of God and the assembly, will administer assembly discipline in the fear of God, in love, impartially, and with the purpose of restoration according to the Word of God. That's what an assembly is all about. And there are many other things we could mention that we've been hearing already. So many people are leaving the assembly, and of course they don't realize it. We don't find, as I say, this scripture verse. They wouldn't say that, but their heart is saying, that place is too small for me. I can do more, and I can do better for God in such and such a place. I'll tell you one thing, you won't find chapter and verse for it. I don't care if our assembly gets bound down, and God forbid, I hope it doesn't. If our assembly back home there in East Pittsburgh gets down to the two and threes, we'll still meet on Lord's Day morning for the breaking of bread, and also for the Bible study, and the Sunday school, and also the evening meeting for the gospel, and also the midweek meeting for the prayer and the Bible study. There's a testimony going to be there as long as God would have us there. As long as we're alive and have reason and have the discernment given by the Spirit through the Word of God, there will be a testimony there. And we only die before the Lord comes. We don't know that. But I'm saying that if we're there, if God allows us to be there, even though it's a straight place, even though it's a small place, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is there, and that's the reason that we are there too. So that's one of the reasons why we're losing some of our people. Faith is too straight for us. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. Begin reading in verse 8. Now go, write it before them on a table or tablet, note it in a book, that may be for the time to come forever and ever. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord, who say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceit. Get out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word, and trust in oppression, and perversity, and rely or stay on them. Therefore, this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in the high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly in an instant. He shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a stir to take fire from the hearth, or to take water out of the pit. Here's another reason why some of our assemblies are getting smaller, why some of our people are leaving. What are we told here? The word is too sharp. Not only is the place too small or too straight, the word is too sharp. We have people today, and just like in the days of the prophet here, they want to be taught smooth things. Don't rock the boat. Don't teach things that might be a little bit controversial. There are more important things to talk about. And to some extent, I will agree. To some extent. But listen, we can't compromise the truth of God's word. You can't do that. When you begin to compromise the truth of God's word, where do you stop? Why, it just keeps going down, down, and down. And this is God's word we're talking about. Sure, they were anxious to have the prophets prophesy smooth things and to blind their eyes as to what's going on. You can't do that. You've got to know what's going on in an assembly. I mentioned that the last time I perhaps was here, about finding a book that was distributed in an assembly, and it taught them you can still get saved after the Lord came, in an assembly. It says you can still get saved. And I read from it. That's terrible. That's not according to the Word of God. Why, the comfort was given to those poor unsaved students in that Friday night meeting, this particular assembly. Oh, but I don't get saved now, I'll get saved after the Lord comes. You won't find that in the book. Listen, we've got to adhere to the book. Word is too sharp for some people. Thank God it is sharp. How sharp is it? Oh, there in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the word of God is quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the things that depend to the heart. God knows what's going on in my heart. He knows what's going on in your heart. And it's the word of God that convicts us as to what God already knows. Where would we be today were it not for the word of God? Ah, you stop to think how easily you and I could have been born over in Africa or India, China, Russia, some of these nations where the word of God has been hidden, so to speak, down through the years. Here we are living in a so-called Christian land, as they call it, in a civilized country, and thank God for it. We have the word of God. How much does the word of God mean to us? Can't skirt the issues when it comes to the word of God. Now, I'll agree that there are certain things that are more important than others. We think of salvation. We think of baptism, which we've been hearing. Gathering to the Lord's name. And the fellowship. And the breaking of bread and prayers and so on. So there are things, we won't have to mention them, that aren't as important, and yet it's the word of God, as some of the others. That doesn't mean we cast them aside. No, no. We adhere to the word of God and we teach it plainly and allow the Spirit of God, not man, but allow the Spirit of God to use his word to convict us of things we're not doing that is right. That's how you learn. You can't expect someone in the assembly to know as much as everyone else. You've got to teach them the proper fundamentals. We agree on that. You've got to make sure they're saved. You've got to make sure they're baptized. And they understand what baptism's all about, and they're living a separated life. But you know, you're not finished in God's school the very moment you sit down at the Lord's table. You'll learn a lot. In fact, I know more about salvation now than I did when I was first saved. You learn a lot about salvation after you're saved. All I knew when I was saved was I wasn't going down to hell. I didn't know I was sanctified and justified, or I'd have been petrified. But I learned a lot after I got into the assembly, and I thank God for the assembly, because that's where I learned a lot. And I'll tell you, and I don't say this boastfully, I don't know of any other group, and there may be, but I don't believe there's any other group on the face of the earth, save by the sovereign grace of God, that knows their book like those gathered for the Lord's name. And I don't say that boastfully. Now, I know there may be individuals in various other groups that may be very learned, and yet if they're so learned in the things of God, why aren't they amongst us? If they know so much about the truth of God, why aren't they amongst us? And that's the reason I try to caution young Christians gathered in the name of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be careful what you read. We're not questioning these men that write insofar as their salvation is concerned. We're not questioning those who may be on radio or television or some other of the media. We're not questioning their salvation, although sometimes you can't help it. But we're not questioning that. But if they know so much, why aren't they gathered to the name and person of the Lord Jesus Christ? The word is too sharp. The word is too sharp. I thank God for the word of God. We read over there in Psalm 138, verse 2, Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Think of all the great and exalting names of God Jehovah we find in the Old Testament and their meaning. He says, his word is exalted above all the names that he has. That's how important it is to adhere to the word of God. Some people don't like to adhere to the word of God. Mind you, to a certain extent, all of us, including the previous speaker and the speaker now, and others to come this afternoon, we have experienced the fact that we haven't adhered to the word of God the way we should. If we adhered to the word of God the way we should, we would have spoken more frankly and firmly and more lovingly to those who don't know as much about the word of God as we do and we don't know too much. Don't ever get the idea that just because a man's in full-time service to the Lord, he knows everything about the book. You'll be shocked how much he doesn't know, how much he doesn't know. And I say that graciously and respectfully. One thing sure, we know who the teacher is. Need not, as we're told in 1 John 2 and 27, he need not that any man teach you. Why? We have the Holy Spirit of God. He's the one that teaches us. Some people don't respond to the indwelling Spirit of God, His desire and effort to teach us. So they leave the assembly. They leave the assembly. The Word is true. If they could only have it blunted a little bit. Give us a little more space, as they say. Give us a little more freedom so that I can go here, as we've been hearing, and also go there. Listen, you're either in the assembly or you're out of the assembly. There's no middle path. No middle path, it can't straddle the fence. It can't remain neutral. In God's assembly, or you're out of it. Now let me say in all fairness, before I misunderstood or misquote, I sometimes get a little stirred up. I'll get a little stirred up when I hear someone afterwards. Who's not young? Some people refer to those in the assembly, and then they refer, giving another name, to those who are in another group who gather the name and person, Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I can't go to those things. I don't approve of some of the things they do. But don't put a stamp on them. They're not an assembly. Sure, to some extent, they're walking in disobedience. But can we honestly say in our assembly today, we're walking in obedience? Are we so boastful and presumptuous to stand proudly and say, everything we do is right? Can we give chapter and verse for everything we do? Now, mind you, we should be able to do so. Insofar as the basics are concerned, we can. I mentioned one time at an Easter conference in Toronto, anyone that assumes the responsibility of an overseer in the assembly and doesn't give the answer to the young people that ask them, you have no business assuming that responsibility. Why? We have the answer. We have the answer from the Word of God. We seek as best we can, as led and involved by the Spirit of God, to do what is right. No one in their right mind, in the right assembly, would want to go wrong. We have to be obedient to the Word of God. But let's not cast the rest of God's family aside. Let's not cast them aside. We love them. We love them. Some of us have relationships, and they're in those places today. Many of them, I don't think, are happy. Many of them are too proud to come back to the truth of God as once they knew it and practice it. But let's not cast them aside as though they weren't children of God. They're just as much a part of the body of Christ as you and I. Sometimes, you know, we sometimes exalt ourselves consciously or unconsciously. We're the only one. Thank God we are gathered to the name and person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in many ways, we do follow the truth of God as revealed in God's Word. But let's not boast about it. You don't know where you're going to end up. Neither do I. I've seen men ministered on the same thing talk about today, and they're not amongst those God's people. You say, well, I wouldn't do that. Oh, listen, you'd be shocked if you might do. Under given conditions, you might do the same thing. And I'll tell you, there's a scripture sometimes that they use to justify themselves. Deuteronomy 1 and verse 28, our brethren discourage our hearts. It's a good reason to leave the assembly now, isn't it? Our brethren discourage us. I'll tell you, I've left the assembly 100 times. You talk about discouragement. If I had the time and you had the time to listen, I could tell you. I'm where God wants me to be. be by the Word of God and the Spirit of God is directed to this place. Some people leave. The Word is too sharp. The assembly is a place, you know, that sometimes say, back home in my high school in Delora, Pennsylvania, we had those words in the concrete above the door. It says, enter to learn, go forth to serve. That's what an assembly is all about. Really, you don't know too much when you come into the assembly. Some people don't know too much after they've been there for a while either. But it's not God's fault. It's not God's fault. You can't blame it on Him. You never get to the point of commencement or graduation when you die, so to speak, in God's house or college or university. You can't blame it on God. He's given you the book. He's given you instructions. He's given you the answer sheets, too. There's no reason why you shouldn't pass the test of the judgment seat of Christ. Let's take a look, please, at Numbers chapter 11. Chapter 11, we'll begin reading at verse 4. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell to lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seeds, and the color thereof the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it into mills, or beat it in the mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, manna fell upon it. Here we have the fact that the bread is too stale. Not only is the place too straight, not only is the word too sharp, the bread too stale. Can you imagine these people in their wanderings there in the wilderness? How God met their every need. Everything they needed was there. They weren't satisfied. They wanted to get back in Egypt. You know, that's how Christians are sometimes. They want to get back into Egypt. The onions, the leeks, the melons, the garlic, and things like that. All six of those things smell. Every one of them. And that's how some Christians are. They want to get out of the assembly. Unconsciously, mind you, because the bread is too stale. They're not satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the bread from heaven, the divine. When God sent bread, they're not satisfied with Him. And yet they can stand some time and sing, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. Take the world, but give me Jesus. Take my life and let it be. All these beautiful songs of consecration. Yet maybe their hearts. So they leave the assembly. If I leave the assembly, I can go here. I'll still be saved. I can go to the ball game. I can do this and I can do that. Things I used to do before I was saved. I can do this, see? I can't do it in a straight assembly. I can't do it in an assembly where the Word of God is upheld and practiced. What do? They want to go somewhere else. Ready? They're not satisfied. They weren't satisfied with the manna from heaven. Not satisfied with Christ. How can anyone say by the sovereign grace of God, say they're not satisfied with Christ? Has He failed? Has He not proved to be all and more than He ever said He would be? Not only your Lord and Savior, your great high priest, your advocate, your intercessor, your mediator, your friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and you're going to turn your back on Him? Something wrong. What does the world have to offer, my friend, that would cause you to leave the assembly? Because the bread is not satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm satisfied with Him. I'm sure sometimes He's not satisfied with me. Many times I've been unfaithful, He remaineth faithful. Thank God for that. Are we satisfied with the bread, Lord Jesus Christ? If we are, we'll seek to please Him in all that we do, in all that we say, everywhere we go. I used to tell young Christians before I found out differently, you can't go to the ball game, you can't go to the hockey game if you're above the line up there. You faces.